All right, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians, if you will, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I do appreciate you being here tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I hope the Lord will help us make this worth your while being out tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to read a couple of verses. We're going to cover really most of the chapter, not everything in the chapter, but I want you to see several things in the context of the chapter. Our theme this year, our emphasis, if you will, is striving together. One team, one group, and I want you to see some things in here that I think will be a blessing. It also kind of goes along with the song we just sang. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1. It says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked." I'll explain that. Now jump to the last two verses of the chapter. Verse 20. "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." That kind of goes along with our choir piece. His grace is still amazing. Still amazing. Let's have a word of prayer. And I'm going to try to get us out here a little earlier than usual with just the weather and and everything going on, but we'll see how we do. And I'm going to speak on handing out houses. Handing out houses. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word, for speaking to us, and Lord, I pray that you'll open your word to us. We ask for your Holy Spirit. I need you to make this clear to me so I can make clear to them, Lord, and not just me, Spirit-filled speaker, but them Spirit-filled hearers. And of course, the truth is in your word. So Lord, I pray that you make it clear to us here this evening. Inspire us and instill us and instruct us. And I pray that you'll give us what we need here this evening. Thank you for each one who found their way out here this evening. I pray, Lord, you'll bless them for their efforts. And we ask in Christ's name, amen. This is being our theme, striving together. What are we striving together for? Well, for the faith of the gospel. Well, why do we need the gospel? So that folks can have eternal life. Not only eternal life, but a new life in Christ. We're not striving together to fill up the pews. Now, if that was the case, we're not doing too well tonight. In fact, with all the flu and the stomach bugs and the snow and everything else, the last few weeks have been a little bit on the slim side. But I appreciate how faithful our folks have been. In fact, we had one of our best offerings we've had in a long time. And it's not about money. Money is not the deciding factor. It's just the fact that it shows the faithfulness of our people. I want you to see some things, and let me dive right into these first couple of verses, and I think you'll see what I'm talking about. Verse number 1 says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." We sang that song there, this world is not my own, my home, I'm just passing through. That's the facts. This is not our permanent home. We have a permanent home in glory. Now, fact is, though, one of these days we'll be back on this earth, but it's going to be a new heaven and new earth by that time. And God's going to have a wonderful thing planned for us. Now, he says here, we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, let me just remind you, we are our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, the person who we are in the inside is in this human body, this body of flesh. Now, we have everybody looks a little different, even twins look different, but even if we looked exactly the same, the soul is kind of like a fingerprint. Every single one is different. It's a different person. God makes us a living soul. We talked about this morning. He formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. That soul lives in this earthly tabernacle. That word tabernacle simply means tent. It's the same word that was used in the Old Testament. We talked about where God dwells in amongst the people of Israel. They made a tabernacle. I mean, the fact is, of course, the tabernacle and temple can't really contain God, but it was a spot where they would meet with God. But we have a tabernacle where our soul is. Now, the fact is, if we are alive, we have a body. But that's only alive born once. We got to be born twice if we're going to have a heavenly body. If we're going to have a spiritual body, we're going to have a body that's going to live for eternity. Now he says, for if we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, one of these days, in fact, we read it again this morning, dust to dust. One of these days, we're going to go back to dust. Now what if this body dissolves? What happens to me? Oh, we have a heavenly body. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. We have a dwelling place with God, always will. This soul is not just contained. Again, sometimes we get so physically oriented that we attach the person to the body and think that's all there is to them. And the fact is, we get pretty, and I understand we're attached to this body. You know, I'm not really attached to mine. I'd like to turn it in and get an updated model. But a little slimmer line, a little more airstream there, you know. But anyway, we had a guy years ago. He came down to our sweetheart back. I forget now what his name was, and he was huge. You think I'm big? He was huge. I mean, he was big. But he was cranking all over me because I just to be fun, I had a white suit. I mean, white suit. And he was calling me the good humor man and boss hog and all this stuff. You all remember what boss hog was. Anyway, and so in the middle, finally, in the middle of this thing here, I had Dr. Belcher come up and stand, and I told the guy, take your coat off. Anyway, I'm with a big coat. We took that coat, and I said, you hold it over here. We hold it over top of Dr. Belcher. Do you know what this is? It's a tent meeting. You got a preacher under a tent. Anyway, but I want a slimmer view of here. But the fact is, we're going to have a new building, not made with hands. If this dissolves and it's gone, who cares? This is not what we're attached to. Look at verse 2. For in this, in what? In this body, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. The older I get, now I don't want to go on the next load. I want to see our grandkids grow up, and who knows, maybe some great grandkids. I don't know, but we'll see what happens. That's a little while yet from now, in the 20. But anyway, I'm not ready to go on the next load. But on the other hand, it gets to a point in your life where you're kind of grown to get rid of this old body and get the new one. I know. I remember being young and thinking, I don't want the Lord to come back. I want to get married. I want to have kids, and I want to, you know, I want to do this and I want to do that. And I wasn't ready to go. And I understand that. But the fact is, there comes a day in life we kind of think, you know, this old body kind of groans, it kind of creaks, it kind of aches, it kind of doesn't quite do what it's supposed to do anymore. And we groan. And one of these days we're going to have a brand new body, and it's okay. My dad years ago, I used to sing a song. It was called. Goodbye, world, goodbye. I told all my troubles goodbye. Goodbye to this world, to each sigh. This world where I roam cannot be my home. I'm bound for the land in the sky. And it was a fun song, and she did this kind of a Dixieland clarinet thing with it, you know. And I was saying, I'm having a good time with this song. I was, you know, we were in early 20s, and we were having a good time with this song. My dad said, I hate that song. He wasn't saved yet. I hate that song. What are you trying to do? It was like he thought I was suicidal. Not suicidal. I'm not ready to go to the next load, but I'm ready when the time goes. Now, he says, I've got a building not made with hands. It's eternal in the heavens. For this groan, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with, with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. So what in the world are you talking about that? Do you have a heavenly home? Or when you stand before God in this body, this house is dissolved? Are you going to stand before God naked? Or are you going to stand him clothed in the righteousness of Christ? We don't have, listen, not everybody has a body in the next world. Only those who have received Christ as their Savior. Look at verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed. I mean, not that we want to leave this world yet. I mean, we groan and we complain and there's things, but so I'm not ready to go yet. And that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Now we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in, that's the down payment. We know we're saved. We listen to a point where his witness, his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And so he comes in, he's the down payment. Verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Now listen, where's your home? Where's your home? Are you most at home in the earth? Or are you confident that one day your time will be in the next world? Are you more relaxed in this world? Now, again, that song said, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through." Now, listen, we can enjoy a lot of things on this side of the world, but there's some things that are just plain more important. In fact, we turn our eyes upon Jesus, if you will, the things of this world grow strangely dim. All of a sudden, they don't matter like they used to matter. We've got a new house. We've got a new home in glory. And he said, listen, we're all, this is fine, but my real goal is to be with him. Watch. Verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Do you live caring about this world and this body? Or do you live with your eyes on the next world, knowing you have a heavenly body? You have a relationship with God to look forward to. You say, well, I don't see that body. No, we walk by faith. Faith in what? The promises of God. Faith in the Word of God. Faith in what he said he's going to do. The change that he said he'll bring. Verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And we use that a lot of times at funerals. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, so to speak, we can be with him. And that's good. Years ago, I think I was still in my teens. Now, I know I just got finished saying I didn't want the Lord to come back because I had a lot of things I wanted to do. And that was true. And this is not kind of weird and crazy thing. I remember when I was a kid, I always had these strange dreams. And I remember one night I was dreaming. And in my dream, there was all these people lined up along the road like there was a parade coming. And I kind of walked up behind them and trying to see what they were looking at. And they were all kind of looking up this way. And I'm kind of, and they said, and I turned around, the guy said, "He's coming." What? He said, "He's coming. This is it. He's coming." I know this sounds crazy, but this great big, like, Goodyear blimp came flying over, and it had the words going across it, "Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming." It's like the blimp was coming, then he was going to come down out of the clouds and get us. I know that sounds weird. It's not doctrinally correct, but the fact is, in my dream, in my mind, this really was it. And my heart started pounding. And I couldn't believe how excited I was. I was excited. I said, "This is it." And all of a sudden, all the things of this world that I wanted to do just kind of disappeared. It didn't matter anymore because he's here. This is it. This is what we've been waiting for. And then I woke up. And I'll be honest with you. I was really disappointed. I mean, I was glad I was going to stick around for a while, you know, but I was disappointed. Because I'd rather be present with him than present in this old body. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body, absent from this physical body, and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, because of that, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. He says, listen, I need to live my life in such a way that whether I have to stay here for a while or whether he calls me home makes no difference. There is no, that doesn't change. My goal is to live acceptable to him wherever I may be. Now, it's a whole lot harder to do that down here in this old body that groans. But while I'm here, that's my goal. That's my calling. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, first of all, I don't want to meet him naked. I want to make sure I'm saved, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. But even when we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ, he says we meet him with what the things we've done in this body. That means, that's why, wherefore I labor, whether I'm present with him, whether I'm not present with him, that I want to do, I want to be what I need to be and accepted with him. I know I've used this illustration before, but the fact is, you know, when you leave your kids home to do a few chores while you go out and run some errands, you come back, you expect the chores to be done. Now I would assume they believe that you're coming back, and so they're probably going to do it. They're going to wait till the last minute, but they're probably going to do it before you get back. The thing is, it's almost like even as Christians, we say, well, where's the promise of his coming? Since the days of Noah, we've been thinking he was supposed to come. He still hasn't shown up here. Where is he? Where is he? And we live as if he's not coming. He said, what does this have to do with handing out houses? Watch me. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So what we do in this earthly body, it's going to make a difference how we enjoy the next time, the next body, if you will. But watch verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are not made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made, I'm sorry, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance, not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. What's he saying? You might think we're crazy, but because we live as citizens of another world, this world is not my home. This is, I'm just passing through. This body will be dissolved. Now, if my body is going to be dissolved, guess what? So is yours. And if your body is going to be dissolved, mine's going to be dissolved, so is your neighbor. So is the guy down the street. So is the guy at the gas station. And so what happens? Knowing that I don't want to stand before God naked, as he says there, but in the righteousness of Christ. And because I don't want to stand, because I know the terror of the Lord, I don't want to meet him not having the righteousness of Christ on me. Knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. I don't want them to have it either. I don't want them to miss out. Listen, if all they have is this body, that one of these days when this body's dissolved, they're going to have to face God naked. Embarrassed. Nothing visible but our sin. Now when we stand, if you know Christ as your Savior, when you stand before God, what he sees is the righteousness of Christ. He sees the blood. Not because we deserve it, but because his grace is still amazing. Now, verse 12, for we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearing and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for his cause. Watch, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Jesus died for all. By the way, he didn't die for just some. There's some folks out there who want to try to convince you that he only died for some. No, he died for all. Why? Because all were dead. Dead in sins and trespasses. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if listen, the love of Christ constrains us. What we're saying, I don't want them to have to face him naked. I don't want to have him see others face him without the body of Christ, without the righteousness of Christ on, without the blood of Christ covering and paying for their sins. And the love of Christ constrains us. It gets a hold of us. It grabs us and says, you can't let this happen. And that he died, verse 15, for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Oh, wait a minute. If he died for all, that means all were dead. But when he makes us alive, we're not to be alive just for our sake. You see what he's saying there? He says, that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Well, I'm going in. Us four no more. It's all that matters. As long as I'm getting in, I'm good to go. I'd go back and check the earnest of the Spirit of God in you. Because you see, when the Holy Spirit comes in you let him guide you, you're going to have a different way of thinking. All of a sudden, you're not thinking about yourself. You're thinking about other things. Again, not only are you thinking about not your life here, but your life over there, but you're thinking about that, not their life here, but their life over there. And so all of a sudden, you have a whole different perspective. Well, all of a sudden, we start to strive together for the faith of the gospel. He says, listen, we're not supposed to henceforth live unto ourselves, but unto him that died for him. Why do we do that? Do they deserve to be saved? Well, no more than I would. I deserve to be saved. But I tell you what, the love of Christ constraining us, all of a sudden that soul means something to us. All of a sudden that soul is eternal. I didn't say whether you like the person, but you love the person. Verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. This old earthly house can be a mess. Not only can it look a mess, it can just plain be a mess. This old house may have taken us a lot of places we shouldn't have been. This old house we may have used this old house to do some things we shouldn't have done. But you see, this old house is not supposed to be what we end up in. God has a new house whose builder and maker is God. God's got a place for us to live. We shouldn't be living in this old mess. And so why, listen, if that's the case, when we see souls of men, we don't look at the house they've lived in on this earth. We think about the house that God wants to give them in glory. Not made with hands. We don't see them at, well, look what it says. We know no man after the flesh. We don't judge them by the house they're living in. Not our job. We don't see them as that old person. We see them as what God can make them. My wife teaches music lessons, and she's been with the school here. She's been starting some new students and so forth. And she's been teaching, what did we decide, 45 years? Something like that. She's been teaching music lessons, private music lessons for 45. She started when she was 2. But no, she wasn't quite 2. But she's been teaching 45 years. And so she has these violin students. Now, Carrie, Darren's daughter, Janice's daughter, you started her, didn't you? And so, you know, you've heard her play sometimes, and she does a great job. But I remember at the house hearing, and worse, as you said. And you know, she said that her mother, Janice, mentioned not too awful long ago, she said there was a time she thought, will she ever be able to play a real song? Here's the thing. It drives me bananas. I just can't do it. In fact, I was a music major. I taught music, but I didn't even do elementary music. I didn't even major in elementary. I majored in secondary. I wanted them to know something before by the time they got to me. I couldn't handle that. I just couldn't. She had all our kids kind of start that. I think they all did. I think, Sterling, you did too? I think you started with, she had you playing the fiddle for a little bit. It didn't last long, I don't think, but she had you playing a little bit, and I think they all kind of, you know, and she just loves it. And I'll tell you why. She doesn't see them at that stage. She hears them. Her little mind, I shouldn't say her little mind, her mind hears what they can be. She hears potential. And she doesn't get excited because they, you know, they actually could, you know, play Daddy Has the Hiccups. You know, that's what they go, Daddy Has the Hiccups, Daddy Has the Hiccups, you know. She's thrilled, but the fact is what she's hearing is a piece that's way down the road in her mind. She sees the potential. That's what God is asking us to do. See their potential. Now the fact is, when we see the potential, you know what we have to do? We got to hand out houses. They may be living in this house right now. This old tabernacle of flesh is a mess. But God says, I'll give you a new house. I'll give you a new life. You know the old song, it was battered and torn at the auctioneers. You remember that old song? Talked about the old violin, and it didn't mean much until the master got a hold of it. It wasn't worth a thing. Nobody wanted to buy it until the master got a hold of it and tuned up the strings and played a song that was sweet. And all of a sudden we had a new life. Everybody wanted the old violin. Because see, God doesn't see the old house. God sees the new house. He said, go out and give a house. Wait a minute. Watch me. Watch me. Look what it says here. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Wouldn't it be a nice thing to go down in some of these rough spots in the city and just start handing out houses? Wouldn't that be, we would be thrilled to death. Let me give you, we've got Habitat for Humanity, and that's good, but what if we just start handing out houses? You know, give them keys to a brand new house. This great brand house. That's a wonderful thing. The fact is that that's still on this level. We get to hand out eternal homes, eternal houses, things that will be there forever, something that will not dissolve, will not pass away, but live forever and ever and ever and ever. He says there, verse 18, and the things are, I'm sorry, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be of Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, because old things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. So we've got a new house, but wait, and hath given to us the ministry, the service of reconciliation. We get to hand out houses. Watch, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What's he saying? Yes, our sins count. And yes, our sins keep us out of heaven. And yes, our sins will send us to hell. But when he sees a soul, he's not seeing the sin. He's seeing the soul. He says, I want them in heaven with me. He's reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. We messed up. Trespasses. We've transgressed God's law. He told us where we're supposed to, what we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do. We do what we want anyway. He said, and we've messed up. He said, yeah, I know you have. He said, well, I messed up big. I know, but the fact is, no sense of counting big ones and little ones. They're all sin. I'll tell you what, I think I told you this some time ago. I had someone that I was leading to the Lord. Well, I tried to lead the Lord several times and I didn't want to hear it. I got to the point where he needed to hear it. He knew his life was coming up short. And finally I said, listen, can I show you from the Bible how God will guarantee you heaven? See, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also. The way you know, and where I know, you know, he said, listen, I am the way, the truth, and life. And I came to him, I said, don't you want to go ahead and get this settled? And his question was this: would I be allowed to come to your church? I'll be honest with you, it took me off guard. I said, what in the world does that have to do? What do you mean by that? But the fact is, I know that there are some places that call themselves churches where if you're not of a certain level or status or social class, you're really not welcome. That's a terrible thing. We're not supposed to be respecters of persons. We're souls. He says, listen, know no man after the flesh. I can't remember. I don't care whether you look classy, whether you don't look classy. Sin is still sin. It's still dirty. And so God, he sees us, and he says, listen, I want to bring you, reconciling them, imputing the trespasses unto them, not imputing the trespasses, but committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then we are, watch verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead that be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He says, I want you to go out and make citizens of heaven. But watch me. He says, we're ambassadors for Christ. Well, that's great. Look at verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for who? Oh, that puts me right back in the same category. Anybody that I can tend to look down my nose at somebody, the fact is, I have no right to look down my nose at them. I might even need to look up my nose at them. You know what I mean? I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner who is headed for hell. I'm a sinner who had to be reconciled by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am a sinner who's lost in trespasses and sins. I'm a sinner who has an old house. And when this old house is dissolved, I'm going to have to stand before the Lord God Almighty. And I sure hope I'm not going to stand there naked. But in fact, I know I'm not, because the blood of Christ covers all my sin. I stand before him clothed in the righteousness of God. Not the righteousness of man, but clothed in the righteousness of God. But then that means everybody else. I like the whole impact, whole thought behind a lighthouse. When we came up here, it was the name of the church was something different, and the kids knew that I've been collecting lighthouses for about 8 or 9 years before that. I don't know why, I just liked them. I just liked the image of them. And when we got the men together and threw several names up there, well, quite a few names, and we got all done. The ones they wanted to use was Lighthouse Baptist Church. And I went home and told the kids. They said, well, what are we going to name the church, Dad? I said, well, Lighthouse Baptist Church. No, Dad, really, what are we going to name the church? I said, Lighthouse Baptist Church. And I'll tell you why I like that. And that's why I have it in the front of our bulletin. A home for you, a light to the world. Now, I know this is not the home we're looking for, and this home, this place will be dissolved too. But we are here, we have a place in heaven. But what's our job? To give out houses. To give out new homes in heaven. Handing out houses. But the fact is, that's why we strive together. For the faith of the gospel. We've got a calling. We've got a purpose. God's asked us to strive together. Watch me. He says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heavens. We can rest in that. And by the way, if you can't rest in that, we can settle that before you leave tonight. Do you know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven? I mean, without a shadow of a doubt. God will guarantee you heaven. You're willing to take it. But he said, now wait a minute. We are ambassadors for Christ. And we get to reconcile others to Christ. That ministry of reconciliation. We get to hand out the houses. Father, thank you for giving us the wonderful ministry of reconciliation. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your ministry. Thank you for the eternal home we have. For this, we have a house made with flesh, but thank you, we have a house that's eternal. And we can never lose it. And Lord, we thank you that when one of these days when this old body is dissolved, we'll be absent from this body, but we'll be present with you. What a wonderful thought. But Lord, I don't want to leave anybody behind, and you don't want to leave anybody behind, and your love constrains us to want to bring others to Christ. If we really understand how this old world is going to pass away, and this is really nothing, our eyes should be on what's going on in the next life, we would see souls not for where they are right now, not for what they look like now, but for the fact is they are eternal souls that are created by heaven and are loved by God and died for and their sins were paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. We meet no man according to the flesh, but see them as souls that you love. And we get the privilege and the honor to reconcile them to you. Lord, help us to do that. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.